0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on another busy midweek in Scottish football. Brendan Rodgers has been hit with a Scottish FA charge for his post-match referee comments on Sunday. Rangers are in Lisbon ready to take on Benfica tomorrow. And we had big championship action at the top of the table last night as well. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight, you have Cammy Bell and Marvin Bartley. Europa League fallout from the weekend. Scottish FA charges. Just another quiet day in our wacky world, Marvin.
I was about to say, it never stops, does it? Normally on a Wednesday, you expect it to be a little bit quieter. But this Wednesday, a lot has gone on. As you said, a massive game for Rangers tomorrow in Scottish football. Playing against Benfica. And obviously, you know, Brendan getting the charge today from the Scottish FA.
Yeah, another big night of talking points. Brendan Rodgers getting charged. Tomorrow night's going to be so exciting. It's a massive game for Rangers. But for me, I've always said that a winnable one as well.
Come on then, 0141 951 1025. The more you call, the less I have to speak to Marvin Bartley and Cammy Bell. So think of it as a service to me, if that matters in any way. Pick up the phone, let us know what you're thinking tonight, Rangers fans. This is exciting, isn't it? It feels like Europe's been in the back burner for quite a while. I know the title race is where everyone's obsession seems to lie, but what a stage of European competition to be involved in. There's a bit of glamour there as well. A team like Benfica, how do you feel about tomorrow? Give us all your thoughts. We're going to speak to Andrew McLean live in Lisbon. It would be nice for any Rangers fans who are out there in Portugal listening in to give us a call. If you're back here in Scotland, I won't hold that against you. Get all your pre-match thoughts in. Is it winnable? How do you see Rangers doing? How keen are you to try and make European progression? How do you think you can juggle it alongside the domestic competitions? And any early team news as well. I noticed Ross McCausland did train today after going off at the weekend. So thoughts in right now, please. 0141 951 1025. The breaking news this evening is that Celtic manager Brendan Rodgers has been charged for comments made in the aftermath of that Hearts game. It was quite a controversial game. One or two refereeing decisions, just in case you hadn't heard, in case you've not managed to tune in over the last couple of nights. It could potentially be a two-match ban. That would potentially see Brendan Rodgers in the stands for a certain meeting with Rangers. So there's plenty of mileage left in this. If you thought it was Wednesday and we were over the weekend, you are wrong. 0141 951 1025. Celtic fans, and anyone else I guess, I think everyone's involved, but in particular Celtic fans, what do you make of that charge? 0141 951 1025. Call us right now, or of course you can send your tweets at Clyde SC SB. Whether it is charges or refereeing controversy, this end to the season, just all round Cammy, looks set to be absolutely unmissable.
Yeah, it's going to be an absolute blockbuster. I think you look how tight the Old Firm is, and what was it, 2018, the last time both of them lost on the same weekend. And I think there's going to be a lot of twists and turns between now and the end of the season. We've got the Old Firm games to look forward to, but also there's a number of difficult ties for both sides. So, yes, very exciting times ahead.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, a lot of teams are now playing against Celtic and Rangers. And, you know, you look at the Hearts game and you look at the Motherwell game, especially the Motherwell one for Rangers, and it'll give you a little bit more belief. Because I think under Clement, it was, you know, some of the games Rangers weren't playing particularly well, but they were efficient in terms of what they were doing. So I think Motherwell maybe, you know, trying to give other teams a blueprint. And listen, it doesn't make it any easier. Rangers are a very, very good team. We've seen that. But it'll give them a little bit more belief, you know, teams going to play them. So like you said, Gordon, there'll be a lot more slip-ups or a lot more difficult games between now and the end of the season.
And before we get into the nitty-gritty of the controversy and incidents and fallout and all that stuff's just going to be intensified as well as a result of what's happening on the pitch with the results, isn't it? You know, that's all going to come together to make it blockbuster. Whether it's good or bad at other times, I'll leave that to you to decide. But
yeah, absolutely. The scrutiny that comes on every single game, the refereeing decisions, the team selections, everything just builds up. It ramps up because everyone's so interested. It's so important that you get results at this time of the season as well. So yeah, the magnitude of the games is going to be, as I said, blockbuster.
Yeah, massive, absolutely massive. And listen, I'm not one to like referees, Gordon, you know that, but they're under massive, massive pressure and the spotlight is on them hugely. And I actually begin to feel sorry for them because I don't think they can do anything correctly at this moment in time. And it is extremely tough. And, you know, like we said, the VAR decisions that we saw over the weekend were very questionable, to say the least. But listen, we just need to get used to it because it's here to stay.
0141 951 1025. That is the number you need. I think I've got high hopes, right? At some point tonight, we've got such a big football match tomorrow between Benfica and Rangers. We can actually talk about the magnitude of that and the football and all the rest of it. But it has been a huge weekend. The fallout continues. This is not us spinning it out, because last night, live on air, we had the result of Yang's failed appeal and Kilmarnock's, by the way, but you tend to hear less about that. And tonight, 5 o'clock, I think it was, the news that Brendan Rodgers has been charged by the Scottish FA for his post-match comments. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Let's bring in Brendan on the line first, and then I'll actually play the comments in question, I suppose. Brendan, how are you?
Yeah, I'm fine, guys. How yourselves?
Not bad, not bad. What are you thinking tonight?
Excuse me, I've got a wee bit of coffee, guys.
Oh,
excuse
you me. Look after yourself.
What I don't understand is that 48 hours after the game, they can make a decision on Yang's yellow card. Mm-hmm. Yet it could be a decision made further down the line, which will affect Brendan Rodgers in a game in 5 weeks' time. Tell me how that happens. Mm-hmm. Tell me how's that possible?
It's a really boring answer. Are you ready for it?
Go on.
It's really boring. It's just written there in the protocol, Brendan. Like an appeal like Yang's and Lewis Mayo, because again, I know we'll do this all about like Celtic or Rangers, whatever. Kilmarnock being the same. Appeals like that for red card are what are called fast-tracked, so that the player doesn't have it hanging over them, so that they can try and get it dealt with before the next round of fixtures. Red card appeals like that are fast-tracked. Comments like the one Brendan Rodgers made, that charge is just not fast-tracked. It never has been. It doesn't matter if it's Marvin Bartley at Queen of the South. It doesn't matter if it's Darren Young at Stirling Albion. It doesn't matter if it's Brendan Rodgers. The protocol is really clear. It's not a fast-tracked issue. And in fact, it's done to try and give a bit of fairness to clubs. It's done so that when this charge is made, Celtic then have X amount of days to submit their evidence. And then the compliance officer has X amount of days to deal with it. And they then schedule in a hearing date, which happens to be March the 28th. And as you say, that could in fact lead to Brendan Rodgers not being in the dugout for the Rangers game, which obviously is a big deal. But we can't just go ripping up the protocol because there's a big game round the corner, can we?
No, okay, I get that, but I just don't understand why, you know, they're putting themselves in this position. You know, why they're putting themselves in this situation. If they could organise an appeal committee for an instant, which happened 48 hours previous, that they can do the same and they can do with it in the same week. The whole thing stinks, absolutely stinks. No, but
see, the thing is, Brendan, with the best will in the world, right, I don't mean to be rude, but it sounds like you just ignored everything I just said.
I'm not ignoring everything you said. I understand exactly what you say.
It doesn't sound like it, because it's not about it. Like, I don't know how to, I'm trying not to be patronising, but none of it stinks. It doesn't stink remotely. The protocol is always the same for these. Some appeals are fast tracked, and when it's like a comment like this rule breach, it's not a fast-tracked issue. It always takes roughly.
If it got fast-tracked, then it would stink because you're going against protocol.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it's always been like this. It's always that. It might be frustrating for the Celtic fans that this is the way that it is, and it's happened. And
because,
it was,
by the way, right, it just so happens that that's when the Rangers game is. The Rangers game could be this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah.
At which point, if you brought it forward, and then it just. I understand that I'll never satisfy everybody, but if you're really sad, you can take yourself off and read the SFA's judicial protocol.
It is what it is, though. Again, it always has been like, it will be a frustration from Celtic's point of view that is in the balance, that potentially their manager might not be on the touchline in one of the biggest games, if not the biggest game of the season. But it's always been that protocol. It's not as if that they're changing it and they're putting it that way just now. That's what it has been. So again, it's just a bit of frustration from Celtic fans, and again, it's probably led from the frustration from the manager after the game and the comments that he did make.
Like I say, is the irony of this, Marvin, is that it's like that so that the club, any club, not just Celtic, mm-hmm. has X amount of days to get their evidence together. That goes to the compliance officer. He or she's got X amount of days to respond, and that's why the hearing date is there. In Brendan's world then, if they do manage to hastily arrange it, Celtic could be the ones who turn around and say, we've not got enough time. We don't have enough time to submit our evidence for this appeal. So let's be honest, this has all come about because there's a Rangers game around the corner, and he potentially misses that one. Anything else, nobody would bat an eyelid.
Exactly that, Gordon. It's because of the size of the game that potentially he could miss. And as you said, I've been unfortunately sent off twice on the sidelines, once as an assistant and once as a manager. And exactly what you're saying, it's just, you know, a certain amount of days. You have to prepare for it, etc., for the compliance officer, like you said there, and then the club or the manager or assistant manager. So it just is the rules. And as you said, if it wasn't, they're playing Rangers this weekend or next weekend, nobody would really care about it. But, you know, it just so happens to fall when it does.
Brendan, the sort of charge itself, do you think that's unfair, or is it just the timing of it that you're grumbling with?
Gordon, you're missing the point I'm trying to make here, right? Now, why do the SFA put themselves in a situation that they can be accused of that, okay? They can be accused of that. If they had a structure in place, now, a league card is determined months in advance, okay? Months in advance. So if they have a protocol, they've got a protocol in for appeals against a red card.
Yep.
So if they had a protocol in for this situation, and they said 14 days from the game, there's plenty of time for evidence to be passed back and forward and whatever they want to do. 14 days from the incident takes you then up to, you know exactly when it's going to happen. You know when it is, and that just happens. But this plucking a date from absolutely nowhere, it could be 4 weeks against Brendan Rodgers, it could be 3 weeks against a other manager. I don't know the time frame from Marvin's incident to when he suffered any potential penalty he had to incur. But the whole thing, one thing you need to remember is Gordon, that past, and this way before your time, but in the past, the SFA chairman had to resign from his job because he held back a registration.
I mean, I'm well aware of it. Granted that it was before my time, but Brendan, I can't. I'm trying to find the politest way of telling you how little that has to do with this. Like, honestly, and I know that it's interesting for fans, but the percentage of relevance that has to Brendan Rodgers' hearing date, it's literally zero. And I don't know, I've run out of ways to explain the protocol. I know the protocol's a bit boring, who cares? Football fans don't like the SFA's judicial protocol. I sort of get that. But the date hasn't been plucked out of thin air. And no one would care if it was Stuart Kettlewell. And no one would care.
You would care.
Well, apart from me. And no one would care if it was a certain other fixture. Mm-hmm. And like I say, the irony being, if they hastily or brought it forward, firstly, you'd be ripping up your own protocol to suit one team, which really would be wrong. And secondly, Celtic would be within their rights to say, you've not given us enough time. So, I don't know, I tried. But anyway, thank you to Brendan. Let's hear the comments in particular, the comments that were the subject of this charge.
My feeling is the game is decided by the officials on the field and outside of the field. And you guys will know me long enough and around enough to know that I don't really comment on officials, and I know they make mistakes and whatever else. But today that felt was really, really poor officiating. VAR is not the problem here. I think that's what's clear. It's competence, you know. And I think the first one is a great example of the game being refereed outside of the pitch. The referee made the decision and someone outside made another decision to say it was a send and all. So that's the game being refereed outside of the field. And in big games, that costs you. But I think when I see that level of incompetence is the only word I can use, then that makes me worry for the game, because such a tight title race, which it is, it's fantastic, it's great to be involved in. That can make the difference, and that today made the difference for us. That today was awful officiating, and what was a big game for us.
When you look at the sort of the wording of the rule that's allegedly been breached here by Brendan Rodgers, did you always kind of expect this charge to come? Do you want me to read the rule just in case to refresh people?
Yeah.
I mean, it's rule number 72. You can find it in 96.1 Articles of Association. Very boring. I'll skip out the top bit. It's basically talking about any team official, manager, that sort of thing. And the bit that comes into account here says that they, I'm just skimming over it, So basically, the remarks that they make, you know, not allowed to impinge on character, talking about criticising decisions, criticising decisions and or performances of any or all match officials in such a way as to indicate bias or incompetence. Now, Brendan Rodgers used the word incompetence, so it probably isn't surprised that the charge is there. I mean, listen, Celtic may be able to argue their way out of that. I'm sure that that's the whole point of the legal process.
Yeah, listen, it's tough for a manager. Like, listen, I don't understand the pressure that they're under, but, you know, he's just lost a game, you know, to Hearts, and he feels that the decisions were questionable against his team. So, you know, then he's got a camera in front of him and a microphone, and he's asked to, you know, make comment on them. And he has done that. As I said, you know, he cuts the figure of a highly frustrated person at that moment in time. And like you said, some of the words he's used, it says within the rules, you know, you can't, you know, even kind of allege of these things that he's actually said.
Because sometimes you can sort of skirt round it. Yeah. And the classic one, you'll always hear a manager say, if that's up the other end that's given. Yes. And people go, oh, what does he mean? Is he alleging bias there? And and that's where it becomes this kind of legal argument. Are you implying bias? Mm-hmm. Are you implying incompetence? If you say the word, either of those words, probably sets the alarm bells ringing, doesn't it?
There's no getting away from it, to be honest. And yeah, probably you did fully expect this to come. I'm probably sure Celtic were prepared for it as well, that it was going to come their way, because, as you say, when you actually use the word that's in the rules that says you can get a charge against you for it. So, no, I'm not surprised. And it is just frustration from Brendan Rodgers. That's all it is. And as Mal says, it's a difficult task to face the media when you're feeling that frustration and you feel as if a lot of decisions have went against you, which has affected the result at the end of the day.
Yeah, because, by the way, there's another debate there as to whether, you know, that rule, is it... You know, does it need to be that way? Does it need to be that watertight? Can manager, if a manager thinks a referee's performance is incompetent, should they be allowed to say it? That's a different issue from basing it on what's there. Let's bring in Craig, who's on the line. What was your reaction to that news, Craig?
Well, my reaction was pretty much similar to the call before me. But you've kind of cleared that point up and explained it why it's went that way. And like you said, if there was any other game that Brendan Rodgers could potentially be banned for, it wouldn't be as big of an issue. But the main point that I wanted to make was, and I'll aim this towards Marvin, because he's an outfield player. Is in your playing career, you've all missed sitters, if that's what you want to call it. You've all missed passes that should have been a lot better. But imagine as a player, if you were actually able to go back and make that pass again or go for that sitter again and this time score it. And for me, that's what VAR is VAR's not the issue. And Brendan Rodgers has hit the nail on the head. It's incompetence for the Don Robertson to go to the monitor. And for me, that's what the point I'm making is you've got that chance to relive it and change a decision when it's in black and white in front of you. That for me, it's not a foul, it's not a red card, it's certainly not a penalty, and stick to a decision or change a decision. I don't get it. And if it's in the rule book that you use certain words when in a press conference like Brendan did, then as a club, you kind of have to take what's coming to you. But what was he wrong in what he was saying? Absolutely not. It's 100% incompetence. And for me, I'm thinking, When are we going to get the opportunity for the referees and the officials in VAR to be questioned on this? Because for me, that doesn't happen. And for me, that's the downfall in this whole situation.
Craig, are you talking about all three incidents in it? Or are you talking about which ones three, do you think?
I don't think Celtic's was a penalty. Mm-hmm. I thought Don Robertson got the Yang one absolutely correct. Yellow card all day long, no malice. Studs weren't really that shown. It was actually the front of his foot that caught him, and the penalty, I think we're all been used by that. It's never a penalty, but to get a second chance at these decisions and Don Robertson going to the monitor and agreeing with the penalty is shocking, and to overturn what I felt was the right decision in Yang was to stick to his yellow but then turns it to a red and then a 3-match ban is shocking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is the thing about, there's so many different issues here, because I actually think no, I was going to say most people agree in the decisions. That's not true, but we're sort of getting there. Most people, like, we've had loads of Celtic fans on, like Craig, loads saying even our penalty wasn't a penalty. We have had loads. Mm-hmm. Seems to be a bit more debate about Yang, and everybody thinks the handball is madness, right? Pretty much.
Yeah.
But this bit today is just about Brendan Rodgers' reaction to it, and it's not like he's raging, he's not ranting and raving, he's not, it's just,
he's calm, isn't
it's
he?
Just that, it's just that rule, I guess, is there. And
but I wonder if it makes a difference, like you said, that the three incidents that we're talking about, and you said a lot of people, especially the two penalties, people are saying, you know, neither should be a penalty, and there's a bit more debate about the red card. In Brendan's defence, if you then present those three incidents and you say, well, you're telling me that these were correct, and then somebody
like
turns around.
That is incompetent.
Yeah, exactly. And listen, incompetence, mistake, whatever it might be. I wonder if that, you know, gives him more of a right to maybe use those words and say those things. Whereas if you're looking at three things and there was stonewall, you know, red card,
I'm not sure though, because bearing in mind, we can think what we like.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you can take, you know, evidence from the court of public opinion. Yang failed his appeal, didn't he?
But I mean the penalties. I mean, if you go there and you present them to the SFA, to, you know, Crawford Allen, whoever's the head of the referees, and he says, do you know what, looking back at it, maybe they, because they do make mistakes. It's happened before. We saw with the last report that they did that mistakes were made. So if they then say, do you know what, maybe those two penalties shouldn't have been penalties, and then were his comments really that wrong in terms of what actually happened within the game? Then, but if they turn around and say they should be penalties, then listen, it's going to be a lot tougher case to win.
Then we start arguing the difference between somebody made a mistake and they are incompetent. Mm-hmm. I'd leave the legal minds to figure that out, Mark. Cammy.
Yeah, listen, I do agree with Marv. I think it's probably the way that Celtic might angle their defence, that they'll look at it and whether they'll try and get Crawford Allen to come out and have a discussion with them to see if he can explain why that penalty was given. If he turns around and looks, says it's a mistake, do they use that as evidence to say, look, this is, it was wording of frustration from Brendan Rodgers, which it is, and that's all it is. It's just a frustration straight after the game, as Marv says, when you get a microphone stuck in your face and you've lost a big game, and he knows how much it means to the club. But it's a difficult one to defend when you actually use the word in the rule book, and that's probably where it'll be a sticky point for him.
Thank you, Craig. 0141 951 1025. Looks like it'll be another fun night. Get involved and we'll take your calls next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Cammy Bell are here. Don't you worry. People, you know, it's one of those secrets of radio, isn't it? You always think, what did they do during the ad break? Well, these two were sent on a crash course of the Scottish FA's judicial protocol. There is nothing these two don't know about it now, so hopefully we've got everything covered on 0141 951 1025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB as well. And now it's a proper, it's got a scattergun, isn't it? Because I'm looking at, well, skimming over Twitter, whilst in amongst all the other things we're trying to do, listening to the last caller. So this is now a big mixture of, were the decisions wrong? What did Brendan Rodgers say? Is it right to punish him? Is it right for the scheduling of this punishment? This is like, it's all getting mixed in there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a massive melting pot, isn't it? Like, there's so many emotions going into it, so many opinions going into it. But I guess without them, we wouldn't have this show, Gordon. But listen, it's a difficult one. Like I said, as a Celtic fan, you're looking at a lot of different things. You know, the incidents that made Brendan say it, what he's actually said, and then the timing of it, I think, is the key thing. I think if it had been this weekend or, you know, this Thursday, then I don't think there'd be nearly as many people moaning about it. It's just one of those things that if he is to miss that Rangers game, that's going to be absolutely massive, you know, for Celtic.
Chris is in Dumbarton. How are you, Chris?
How you doing, guys? All right?
Yeah, not bad. You?
Not bad, mate. It's just that I was wanting to make my main point, but before I said that, what I wanted to know as well is, I think with regards to the decision to ban, to basically charge Brendan Rodgers is a disgrace. I'll tell you the reasons why. Now, I think Celtic as a club have been fairly lenient and they've been quiet about a lot of decisions that have been made. Now, we all have a laugh and a joke about the amount of penalties that Rangers get. However, it's not just down to that. It's the amount that they've not conceded, right? So you can just mention Conor Goldson as a prime example, right? But what's frustrating me the most is, and I'm actually glad in a way, like Brendan Rodgers has actually called on it, because I think the fans have been screaming for that for a long time, for them to be honest and come up front and let them know what their thoughts are. Now, apparently, you know, he's been charged because he mentioned the word incompetent.
Mm-hmm.
What I want to know is, how do we find the balance here then? Because we've had a Rangers who basically called out the referee, Willie Collum, called him out and basically said they didn't want him to referee another Rangers game again. Right, now, we know what there's been issues in the past with, you know, like referees being targeted, possibly putting families at risk, etc. So what I want to know is, what's the difference then between Brendan Rodgers saying that and Rangers outright demanding VAR audio, suggesting that he never referees another game again, and potentially inciting hatred towards one particular referee? So how is that a balanced approach? How can that even be fair?
I think it's just different things, aren't they, Chris? I mean, I think everybody on here certainly said that they thought Rangers went about that wrong. It didn't work either. You know, Willie Collum refereed fairly soon after. I know we like to draw comparisons. Ah, but you know, kind of, what about them? What about them? The only relevant comparison would be, had Philippe Clement sat in his post-match press conference that day, said that the referee was incompetent, and then didn't get charged, you'd be more than entitled to call in and say, well, what's happening here? That there's an imbalance. But to repeat, everybody that we had on here thought Rangers went about that wrong, but it just obviously didn't tick that particular rule breach. I mean, they're different things, aren't they? Whether it's right or not is entirely up to you and everyone else, but they're not really the same.
Well, it seems to me like the SFA took a really light approach to that, as opposed to Brendan Rodgers. Now, what Brendan Rodgers said, they might have said they were incompetent, mm-hmm. right? But basically, he mentioned what they're officiating from off the field. And that, now, that's exactly what happened. Now, with regards to the actual red card, I think that could have went either way. It could have been a yellow or a red. I think, personally, that Don Robertson got it right, because I didn't feel there was any intent there. However, he was called to the monitor. The same with regards to even the Celtic penalty. I thought the Celtic penalty was a bit soft, and had Celtic not been awarded the penalty, I don't think there would have been that many complaints. I think it would have been 50-50, right? But it was never in a million years a penalty for Hearts. There's nothing the guy could have done to get out of the way. And for me, I think it's basically Celtic have just had enough of it. And, you know, maybe Celtic have done it in a way to highlight things, probably, as you say, potentially knowing what there's going to be a charge or a follow-up to it. But for me, I just think that Celtic have been quiet for too long.
But see, on that, Chris, right, by your own admission, you've just said Celtic got a penalty they shouldn't have got, but in the same day, you know, Celtic have had enough of it, as if...
I didn't say that. I said, with regards to the penalty, I said, I think it was a soft penalty.
Right.
It could have went either way, but what I'm saying is, if it wasn't given, I don't think, you know, there would have been that many folk upset about it, like, to the extent they were been upset, like Hearts get awarded the penalty. It was a soft penalty, but how's the Hearts won a penalty?
I think everyone will agree on that. But yep. You know, also, like I said, I referenced earlier, we've had a lot of Celtic fans this week admitting maybe Chris is in the soft category. Go either way. Most of the Celtic fans we've had on Monday, Tuesday are admitting that it probably shouldn't have gone either way. But the handball's the one, I think, that's uniting everybody.
Yeah, the handball one, again, I can't get my head around. I can't understand how that's been given as a handball. I do agree with the penalty, the Celtic penalty. I don't think that's a penalty either. I really don't. And I think Don Robertson got it right on the pitch for the yellow card. I feel as if that, for me, when there's a high foot, listen, you've got to take it as an individual basis. I think the VAR need to look at it and think, is there intent? Is there motion? Is it really endangering a player? For me, it wasn't. I think yellow is more than significant in that incident. But again, touching on what Chris said about Rangers and flipping it, going over to there and their comments on Willie Collum, it was the club that made that. It wasn't the manager at the time. Mm. And I think that's why Brendan Rodgers is getting punished, because he openly said this in the media.
Yeah, I agree with Cammy saying there about it, you know, being the manager rather than a club. I'm not saying either of them are right, but that, I mean, who do you punish in terms of the Rangers one? If it's the directors, whoever, you know, wrote the statement, etc., banning them for two games doesn't make any difference. You know, the Scottish FA are there to basically control managers in a way of, you know, making the game fair, but also, as we said there, you know, we don't want to see referees having to go into hiding, etc., and putting people at risk, because it is a game of football. It's a game of football that we all love, but there's a humane side to it as well. And the Scottish FA have obviously seen this and felt that those comments, you know, that they shouldn't have been made. Maybe if they made in private, you could have had a conversation about it, but obviously I'm not happy with what, you know, Brendan said.
And it's one of those things, like, you end up getting really pernickety about the words that are being used.
Yeah.
It's clearly just that one word, really, that's triggered. Yeah. Had Brendan Rodgers sat there, Brendan Rodgers could have sat there with steam coming out his ears, banging on the desk, saying, in my opinion, some of those decisions were a disgrace. I can't believe some of those decisions were reached. He could have gone on and on and on. Mm-hmm. But instead, it's the word. It's just the word incompetence seems to have, because it's literally mentioned in the rule as to what you're not allowed to allege, never mind say. Yeah. But because these things are for people far more intelligent than me, maybe there is a way. Maybe there's a way Celtic's lawyers do go in there. No point in me trying to prejudge it and manage to put up a case that convinces the panel that Brendan Rodgers doesn't get that ban. So,
No, maybe. I agree.
Watch this space.
It's just frustration. That's all it is. And listen, Brendan Rodgers is a very clever guy. He'll know what he's saying within these press conferences. He maybe said it again with that sort of mist in his mind a little bit because he am surprised he maybe used that word, because it'll be interesting.
But he won't know that word.
You
know, in the rules.
But he'll know he'll be close to the line by saying that word. I think he would know he'd be very close to the line by saying that word within his press conference.
Yeah, listen, as you said, you're speaking off emotion and he's obviously frustrated at the decisions. And like you say, it's obviously a word that he uses, and unfortunately for him, like you said there, Gordon, you know, it falls foul of the rules.
We will see. When did I say 28th of March? I'm honestly like, I never thought I'd spend the show. I'm trying to listen to you guys. I'm also like just poring over really the most mind-numbingly boring stuff from the documents about, you know, the number of days and stuff like that, to sort of back up what I said to the first caller. You know, within how many working days of the alleged breach, and then the chance for the compliance office to respond, and so on. Look, I'm looking at the time frame. They possibly could have done they could have arranged a hearing slightly earlier, but not early enough to take the Rangers game out of the equation, basically.
Yeah.
I think, looking at my calendar, doing my mental arithmetic and reading the words, I think they probably, if there was the availability, have had it the week before, but that wouldn't be enough
to change that. That just shows you the scrutiny that is all about Rangers, because we're not even talking about who they're going to be playing in the other weeks. It's just about this one Rangers game and the magnitude of it. And yeah, Celtic would be desperate to have their manager.
They really want Brendan Rodgers in the dugout at Livingston on Sunday the 31st of March.
Tough place to go, Gordon.
The Marvin Bartley lounge. You got one there?
It's more of a sofa.
Yeah, I'll bet it is. 0141 951 1025. Keep the calls coming. We're not a million miles away from being live in Lisbon, speaking to a reporter as well. So Rangers fans, you might want to jump on board at that point in time and look ahead. But let me tell you about this. Clyde One. After a winning streak worth over £1 million, the latest Make Me a Winner call went all the way to 5 rings. That means it is a rollover, and you could be the winner of £158,000 tomorrow when we make the next call. But you need to be in the draw. Text YES to 61025. Text are £2 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at Clyde1.com. Online entries cost £2, or call 0330 880 4523, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It's over 18s only. Entries since Clare won on Tuesday have rolled over, and all the other rules for this network competition are online. If you get the call after 3 p.m. tomorrow, answer within 5 rings, say "Make me a winner" straight away to win £158,000.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Cammy Bell are here. It's 0141 951 1025, and we are on Twitter as well, at Clyde SSB. A perfectly normal night on Twitter as well, let me tell you. Some wild stuff making its way. And let's bring in Andy, who's on the line. How are you, Andy?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, all good. What are you thinking?
I tell you what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that there's, you know, not just the decisions on Sunday that come into question here. I think if we look at the Liam Donnelly incident for Kilmarnock, I think it's Liam Donnelly's name, is it? Certainly Donnelly. 12 minutes for the end, Nicol Raskin challenges him from behind, going in, and he's in the box, and VAR doesn't look at it. Now, I might be wrong in this, but I thought the interpretation of a referee getting involved as if there was a clear and obvious error. And given the amount of debate that's went on round Yang and the penalty that was given against Celtic, I don't think any of those were clear and obvious. So it seems to me as that Don Robertson has given the right decision initially, but as soon as he has to go to the monitor, the pressure's then on him to overturn it because somebody's actually inadvertently telling him he's wrong. And I think Brendan Rodgers did very, very well to stop at the word incompetence because, you know, let's be honest, I think there's, you know, among the Celtic fans, we don't think it's incompetence. We're actually questioning the integrity of the game. I watched Formula One for a lot of years and I loved it. And then I watched Max Verstappen get handed a world title in the last lap. I've never watched it since. So what it did was it damaged the product. And that's what we have to be careful in Scotland because I believe what's happening right now is damaging the product.
Celtic win everything, usually.
Sorry?
Celtic win everything, usually. No.
You're talking about over the last 12 years? Is that
yeah.
What you mean? Aye, aye. Well, we've won everything because, one, we looked after our finances and, two, we've had the better, by far and away, the better team for the last 13 years. So you can't punish a team for running the business correctly.
Wouldn't dream of it. I just mean, like, you used the Verstappen example as if, like, he didn't deserve it and he became champion and didn't deserve it. But, you know, Celtic are the ones that, it was more of the comparison, you know, they're the ones that win it anyway. There's always going to be a can of worms. Liam Donnelly, Nicol Raskin, honestly, I'm not sure. I don't know. But what I think Andy hits a really important point, probably the most frustrating phrase for football fans anywhere in the globe, is clear and obvious. Mm-hmm. It is what VAR's supposed to do. Now, Celtic can feel hard done by that wasn't applied to, but what I would say to Andy is, watch any game of football now. Yeah. And I feel like it's never. It's such a red herring everywhere, not just Celtic, not just Scotland even. Such a red herring, that bit.
Yeah, it's and that is probably the big frustration, clear and obvious. I agree. I think when I first see Yang's decide, I think the referee's got it right on the pitch. And then, listen, Andy's right. There will be an element of doubt in the referee's head when he goes over to the screen, no matter what anybody says. Yes, he should go over and look at and with his own eyes, but I still think it does put that little bit of doubt in.
It definitely does, but to be fair, if we're going to be naming people and make it specific, Don Robertson,
yeah,
this season has gone to the monitor and stood by his own decision at Ibrox with 50,000 people.
Totally.
Determined to try and hope that he changes his mind, and he stood by it and sent Dujon Sterling off. So it can be done, and Don Robertson will do it if he feels the need.
No, I totally agree with that, but I just feel as if the clear and obvious, we're not getting that right, because that isn't, we're still debating it. Some people think it is a red, some people don't. I think you go with the referee's decision. I think as long as he's explaining through his mic to the VAR that he's seen the incident completely, then we go with his decision. But listen, I don't think, for me, there's nothing. The refereeing's been not great recently for a number of weeks. It is getting highlighted because we're getting to the business end of the season, but I don't think it's against any team in particular. I do believe it's just totally frail Scottish
board,
football.
Isn't it? Yeah, it's across the board.
But that's what I'm saying. I think that clear and obvious thing was a real flaw of VAR.
Yeah,
globally, because I've said it before, like, what's clear and obvious to you is different to me, is different to Andy and Sterling.
Well, that's the interesting part of it.
I know it was there
to
try and stop this notion of re-refereeing the game, but that the horse has bolted on that.
It's happening. And like I said, that's the interesting part, because just with the Yang sending off, as Cammy said there, I think the referee did well, and I think he got it right in terms of the yellow card. It'd be interesting to know what was said to him to make him think that it was a clear and obvious error from himself and why he had to check it again. And also what he then saw on the replay that he didn't see in real time, because I think his angle of it was ideal. I think, you know, we spoke about it. I think Cochrane runs into Yang's boot rather than the other way around. I think if Yang's coming across on Cochrane still and he comes across with a high boot, I then agree it's a red card. But I think he has a bad touch. He goes to then flick it over Cochrane's head, who then sticks his head into Yang's boot. Yep. For me, that's not a red card. But I've been on a pitch and at times I've gone into...
You can't get your leg that high.
No, I can't. But I've been late in tackles. And I've gone in with force, etc. So... You know, for me, watching that, a yellow card, I think, was absolutely perfect. I think the referee did exactly the right thing. Obviously, he's gone back and he's seen it again and seen something different. But it'd be interesting to know what that is. And I think that's where the frustration lies. I think if referees could come out and speak about certain incidents, not under interview by someone, you know, at Sky or whatever channel it is on, but even if they have their own sort of channel and, like, you know, the big talking points, they put it out there and at least it would explain. And Celtic fans will say, do you know what? Someone agree with him, but they understand his opinion regardless.
Yeah, and again, that whether that's something at IFAB level that feeds its way down, can you hear the audio? Can you get the communication? Because we're just left in the dark. Is it? I don't know. Does Don?
They do it in America, though.
Does Don? Yeah, but I think it's always as part of like trials and stuff like that.
But I mean, they have like a channel where they'll speak about if I fouled Cammy, for example, and I got a red card. And you're the referee, you come and say, the reason I sent Marvin off was because this is this.
I mean, in the moment on the VAR
audio,
Don Robertson, it might be something as simple as when he gives the yellow, he didn't think there was contact in the head, he then thinks there is when he sees it back and he upgrades it to red, but we don't know.
Yeah, nobody knows.
Andy, do you think Brendan Rodgers will win that appeal? Got off without a ban?
I think Brendan Rodgers and Celtic will win that appeal. In any court or anything, I think if you're telling a lie, then you can be held accountable. The fact is, Brendan's told the truth. They were incompetent. At best, they were incompetent. At worst, you're questioning their integrity. And I think that's why he's been punished, because I actually believe that he was borderline questioning John Beaton's integrity.
I don't know, you might be right, but I mean, I'm looking at the disciplinary rules. I don't think it says it's okay to say it if you're right. I don't think that's coming into it. I think you're just not allowed to indicate bias or incompetence by the look of the rule that I've got in front of me.
Do you think it's right then that you know, I mean, this is the country's national sport. Do you think the guys that know better than us, i.e. the managers and the players and everybody else, do you think it's right that they're not allowed to have an opinion?
I mean, they are. They're just not allowed to indicate bias or incompetence. They're more than entitled. You hear it most weeks. They're more than entitled to say, like, in my opinion, that was, you know, some really bad decisions went against us, or we didn't get the rub of the green today, and I thought he got that one wrong. I felt this. They're more than entitled to have an opinion. You hear it all the time.
So do we actually get to the stage then where they're only allowed to have an opinion if it fits within the narrative that the SFA want? So rather than actually point out the obvious, they want you to basically sugarcoat it. The fact is, you know, there was two wrong decisions in that game, at least two wrong decisions. And by the way, we had the same debate earlier in the season when Alistair Johnson had a penalty given against him under the same circumstances, where his back was to the ball and the ball was being headed on his arm from behind him. I mean, at what point do we not learn from our mistake?
What game was that one again?
I think it was against Kilmarnock.
That didn't get given.
No, there was a penalty that was given against Alistair Johnson.
The one at Kilmarnock where he falls down and hits him in the back of the arm. That didn't get given.
No, that one. It was a case where Alistair Johnson went up to head the ball, somebody headed it from behind him, and it hit his arm.
I'm not sure if it was Alistair Johnson, but there's definitely one at Celtic Park. I think he's on about, it gets crossed in, and then,
this season.
Yeah, all seasons are muddled into one for me, Gordon. I'm not sure who it was, but there was one at Celtic Park that I think that's the one that Andy's referring to. I'm not sure who the player was, but I think they said they gave a handball because it was heading towards a goal or something like that, and that was the reason that it was given as a penalty, which I think that's the one he's questioning.
Thanks very much to Andy, and would you believe it, in the blink of an eye, what a fast hour that was. We're here already.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
It is Beat the Pundit time. Easy pickings on a Wednesday night. Marvin Bartley and Cammy Bell.
Underestimated.
I got a 10 last time.
Oh, was that the last time you were here?
Yeah. Right, and people have been speaking to me about you.
You've not been here for about 4 months. That's why it's hard to remember. 01419511025. And you need to call before 7 o'clock.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Cammy Bell are here on the usual number. The breaking news before we came on was that Brendan Rodgers has been charged by the Scottish FA for comments made about the referees in the aftermath of the Hearts game at the weekend. Safe to say it's got people going. Seems like there's a nice level of debate out there, mutual understanding all around the place. If you want to keep going on it, the number you need is 01419511025. But we are very soon going to go live to Lisbon and get the latest from the Rangers camp ahead of the clash with Benfica. It is this time tomorrow, so Rangers fans, it might be a good time to move on and look forward. If you want to get involved, you can do on the usual number. But let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
It is Beat the Pundit time. Marvin Bartley, you have played 10 times. You've won 6 and lost 4. One of your wins was a 10, and one of your losses was a 0.
I don't was know, a 0 this season?
I don't know. It is in my head. I don't know.
I don't know the truth get in the way, are. Surely they'd rather play Cammy, let's be honest.
50% Cammy. Played 4-1-2. Just very.
Yeah, I remember one of them was a naughty victory as well. Wasn't the best of games.
Last game a couple of weeks ago was tight. I think it was a 5-4. I got beat though.
Right, okay.
Good.
Stuart's in Govan. How's it going, Stuart?
All good. Thanks for having us on.
A pleasure, Stuart. What's got more chance of happening? You beating the Pundit or Rangers getting a result in Lisbon tomorrow?
Good question. Rangers, after these games unpredictable, I just hope they can go there and keep the score respectful, I should say. So, yeah, and I'm confident Rangers can go there and get a result tomorrow, because obviously the previous Europa run was successful, so and obviously they've beat Benfica before. So,
well, I'm confident you can go and get a result on Beat the Pundit. If it's heads, it'll be Cammy Bell. Tails, it's Marvin Bartley.
Who does he want to play?
I will
take them both on.
Exactly, we're both pretty average. Heads anyway, so it's Cammy.
Okay. Oh, you lucky boy, Stuart.
The dodgem is off the hook.
Dodgem. Amazing.
Come on, Stuart.
Right, let's get this on, set up. You've got 30 seconds. We need to give Cammy some greatest hits radio to listen to first, though. Good, let's go. Stuart, 30 seconds. Just answer as many as you can and pass if you don't know the answer. That's my advice, all right? Top man, your time starts now. Who was the last team Celtic played in a knockout game in European competition?
Lazio.
Name any Rangers player who scored against Benfica in 2020.
Morelos.
Who's got more league clean sheets, Xander Clark or Joe Hart?
Clark.
Chris Kane joined Dunfermline on loan from which Premiership team?
St Mirren.
In what year did Rangers last complete a domestic treble?
2010.
Who's the only non-Premiership side left in the Scottish Cup?
Pass.
Okay, let's bring Cammy back. You ready?
Yeah, all good.
I think these are quite tough.
Okay, great.
There are one or two that are in your...
Okay, let's go.
In your strong suit. Ready? Right, 30 seconds. Time Goldie starts guns. Now. What was the last team Celtic played in a knockout game in European competition?
Pass.
Name any Rangers player who scored against Benfica in 2020.
Kent.
Who has got more league clean sheets, Xander Clark or Joe Hart?
Xander Clark.
Chris Kane joined Dunfermline on loan from which Premiership side?
St Johnson.
In what year did Rangers last complete a domestic treble?
Pass.
Who's the only non-Premiership side remaining in the Scottish Cup?
Martin.
He said that got in there. Nah, those are the rules when I've started the question.
That was a minute, that one.
He said Martin at the end. Right, what do you think, Stuart? Have you done enough?
I'll be honest, that's tough. I don't think he's done
well
either, but I think I've probably done worse.
Right, the last team Celtic played
I struggled there
in knockout was Bodo Glimt. Remember, that was a conference, wasn't it? Yeah, so okay. 2022, none of you got it. Name any Rangers player who scored against Benfica in 2020. You had the choice of Arfield, Roof, Kamara or Morelos. Stuart, do you remember it? Did you just go Morelos? I feel likely.
Yeah, I remember it, yeah.
Yes, Stuart.
Cammy Clay, didn't
1-0 up.
I was crumbling at this point.
1-0 up. This season, who's got more league clean sheets, Xander Clark or Joe Hart? It is Xander Clark, 14-11. You both got it, so Stuart stays one in front. But here's the thing, this is the one that I just knew he would get. Chris Keynes joined Dunfermline on loan from St Johnston, and Stuart said St Mirren. Ah, it was the other one, the other Saint. So the level. In what year did Rangers last complete a domestic treble? 2003. None of you got it, which means it comes down to the last question. Who are the only non-Premiership side remaining in the Scottish Cup?
Stuart didn't get this.
Stuart, I can't believe he somehow dug out Morton at the last.
Here we go.
Who did Stuart say?
I think Stuart passed.
That's the audacity. He thought he was going to win.
Stuart, I'm devastated for you.
Takes my percentage even further above you, Marv.
Just to remind everybody that they beat Motherwell in the fifth round. That was clearly put in there on purpose. But there we go. So overall, Stuart, you're thinking high-ish hopes for tomorrow. Is it tough but winnable?
To be honest, I said Rangers done it before, as I said. And why not? Let's be optimistic. Let's just go for it. And as I said, and I hope with the whole of Scotland, I'm going to put my head in the line here. Hope everybody's going for Rangers tomorrow, as I say, because we really need it.
Are you new to this show, Stuart?
No, I know. I work in the football. I know what it's like. I work in pro football myself. I'm a groundsman, so I've been about football for years and everything. And I know what it's like. I know what it's like. I'm a Govan boy and Rangers, Celtic, everything. But as I said,
are you allowed to tell us which pitch you work on, or is that breaching some sort of weird groundsman confidentiality that I don't know of?
All over the globe, so I'll leave it at that. But
hold on a minute. What a tease!
Is it Livy?
Right, what country are we talking?
Where have I been? Vietnam, Kuwait, China, England, Scotland. I used to be at Motherwell. Sweden, Denmark. So I've been all over the shop. So
Stuart must know his grass.
That's what you need. Grass questions.
I've got a wee bit of knowledge of world football, and I know what it's like. So, but as I said, our mentality, and especially West of Scotland, is just—I'll be honest—is a bit poor, and we need to get behind it, and also, just go for it.
Good to see.
Both every team in Scotland just shout for each other at times.
I admire your optimism. Obviously, you know as well it won't catch it's on, but thanks very much to Stuart on the line. Nearly did it. He nearly did it. There we go. So
nearly did what?
Nearly beat Cammy.
That's a bad game.
Quite good at getting over the line, but you look at percentages, stats are stats,
It's a standard. You're winning games 3-2. I've lost like 6-5 to someone, which is ridiculous.
But also, you got a zero.
Yeah. My percentage, what is it? 60%? 70%?
Yes, 60.
With a 10?
Yep.
So that counts for a lot. Goal difference, Cammy.
But anyway, I should have kept him on. It was a state of my back garden, honestly. But honestly, it's really annoying me today, right? Because I had the most, is there a worse household task than painting? I painted the spare room today, right? Honestly, which made me...
I would say cutting grass, if I'm honest.
Well, exactly right. So I'm upstairs looking down on the grass thinking, these walls are a mess. That grass is a mess. This is going to be a long year for me.
Listen, my garden is just mud because it's a new build. So there is no... it's just mud.
You want to put in a complaint and get the turf thrown in.
And then when a dog goes on it and then tries to come in the house and you try and stop him, he's a Rottweiler. He just goes past you.
Any groundsman or... I mean, if you're a groundsman, you're not going to want to rock up to my garden, are you? But if any painters out
painters,
there,
I'll
to
get
give
my mate
some,
Greg. He'll
just some advice, because and this is where I'm about to offend the full painting industry. You think it maybe should be a bit straightforward, and it's just not. You think how am I getting this so wrong? Enough about me.
Greg can do it though.
Yeah,
get him a sausage roll for doing
Greg
it.
Greg will sort it out. Yep.
Vietnam. He'd been a mother. I didn't have the cheek to ask him if he was the Motherwell groundsman when it was the worst pitch in the league or when it was the
when
best
when they played Hibs in that what was scoring that game when it was mud.
Don't forget it. Lukas Jukovic. I won't hear a bad word said about it.
Yeah, I was about to say 5-5. It was 6-6, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was really weird because that had patches that had been fixed.
That's the bits that he was working on.
There was also the one that always sticks for me. There was it probably would have been televised. So it was a Motherwell Rangers game. And Tom Hatley scored a free kick, right? But I'm pretty sure he had it in beach football where they make a little tee for themselves.
I can remember playing on that.
He had it teed
horrendous.
Up, so he was able to volley it off the off the sand and into the top corner.
Cameron's probably in goal.
No, I played with Kilmarnock there, and it was. I can remember that period. It was genuinely like a beach. It was shocking.
I was going to say it's good now, and actually, but it's been a bit wet in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, and the Hatton was on, wasn't it? That didn't help it, mate. Bad weather.
Anyway, right, where are we? Let's go to David, who's in Barrhead. How are you, David?
I'm all right, guys. A worse job in the house. How about weeding the garden rather than cutting the grass?
I actually try and stay away for that one altogether. That's grim. That is grim. You need some gloves for that, don't you? You need to look after the hands, David.
Right, guys. Rangers playing. It depends on the team that turns up. Over the last two games, there's been a great game against Hearts and a shocking game against Motherwell. If the Motherwell side turn up, we're going to get hammered. And if the team that played against Hearts turn up, then yeah, there's opportunities there. But we need to, they're a good team and we need to play well against them.
Is it maybe though, David, that there's a third option, which is this European version of Rangers that comes out the cupboard every now and then and surprises everybody?
Yeah, I mean, they've done it the last 3 or 4 years. They've outshone everyone's expectations. But yeah, I mean, we've got a terrible injury list at the moment. I mean, it's shocking and woeful. But the players that are there can do a job if they play the way that Rangers have played in Europe the last 3 or 4 seasons. I mean, we've got nothing. As long as we don't get hiding, I mean, we can go out there and just play the game and hope that they can. I mean, they've had a bad result, so why can't they not have two bad results in a row?
They put the cup as well, didn't they?
Yeah. Listen, I firmly believe Rangers have got a great chance of going over there and getting a positive result. I do agree with David, they need to put a good performance in on the night. Defensively, they need to get back to being solid. They were very open against Motherwell.
Listen, Benfica are good, but they don't have Theo Bear.
No, they don't. They don't.
Encouraging.
But I think Rangers will be much more defensive minded in the game tomorrow night. They'll pick and choose their moments of obviously attacking and make sure their fullbacks aren't going gung-ho all the time, whereas they did a little bit and left a lot of space for Motherwell at the weekend. So I firmly believe it'll be a completely different game. And listen, we've got to look at the way they've been and how much they've excelled in Europe recently, Rangers. So there's no reason to doubt them. It's going to be a difficult game, but if they want to go and progress in this tournament, it was always going to be a difficult game no matter who they faced.
I feel like the real highlights, the ones that you reference, would obviously be the run to the final. Played Benfica before, played Porto and Feyenoord and various big sides, and always managed to be there or thereabouts, Marvin. But even this season, the much maligned Michael Beale team beat Real Betis at home. I'm not saying they're as good as Benfica, but just as an example. And then went away and won over there in Seville. I mean, Sam Lammers played the full game that night. You would have to imagine Rangers would certainly feel they're in a better place now. There's something about Europe in recent seasons that tends to suit them.
Yeah, it probably brings out the best in them. And we speak about it a lot. You know, when Rangers and Celtic, both of them, play domestically, it's normally, you know, you've got 10 players behind the ball, 11 players behind the ball. When they go into these European games, Benfica will believe that they can beat Rangers, and Rangers will think the same against Benfica. You know, so it makes for a much more open game. And that's why I think, you know, with Rangers, especially, like you said, the run that they have gone on, because they are 50-50 games, and they're going into games where, you know, if you attack, you're probably going to get overloads at times, and, you know, it turns into basketball at times. Benfica are in a fragile place, though. You know, they lost, obviously, their last game 5-0. And I think Rangers need to go there and do what a lot of teams do when they play against Rangers, go there and try and almost turn the home crowd against the players, because losing 5-0 in such a massive game, that those fans will be expecting. So I think the first 15 to 20 minutes of tomorrow's game will be absolutely telling. And I think Clement will say to him, listen, keep it tight, slow the game down. Because after that, you know, the Benfica players are going to have to come out and come at us, and then we'll pick them off, as Cammy just said.
If we are spending a lot of our time talking about the title race, David, I know that's everyone's like obsession. Are you one of those that thinks, just, you know what, foot to the floor in all competitions and it'll all benefit each other? Or do you worry about the balancing act?
I think you just go for it. I think there's no point in saying we'll hold back or we'll concentrate on this and concentrate on that. Just enjoy the time and just go for it and try and get the quadruple. Why not? If we can live a dream.
Yeah, why not? Why not? Aim high. That's David on the line. Let me thank David. Before we go any further, let me just run this past you.
Clyde One Live celebrating the first 50 years.
Our third act has been announced for Clyde One Live. Hopefully you were listening to Bowie at Breakfast this morning just after 8. It is Emily Sandy. She's going to join Amy McTree, just playing some songs there so that you can get the gist of it. Never. She's going to join Amy McDonald and Callum Beattie at the Oval Hydro on Friday the 31st of May. You can get your tickets at ClydeOne.com. But we do have even more acts to be announced in the coming weeks. So make sure you've got the date in your diary, and more importantly, head to ClydeOne.com to get those tickets. What we're going to do right now is take a breather, and as soon as we return, we're going to go live to Lisbon. Andrew McLean's been there, he's seen the team arrive, they've been out in the pitch, he's spoken to Philippe Clement. We'll give you all the latest in terms of injury updates, and you can hear from Philippe Clement as well. That's coming next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it, watch it. Search the YouTube stream now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Cammy Bell are here. Keep the calls coming in. It's a very busy show. Otherwise, I definitely would have put Peter, who was a painter and decorator, on here, who wanted to phone in and give me advice. maybe get back to, I'm going to call Peter up privately after this. We're about to go live to Lisbon, so Rangers fans or anyone else who's interested in that game tomorrow, pick up the phone right now. Let's quickly do this first.
The full-time teaser with Universal Interiors East Kilbride, offering champion bespoke media units to put you right in the game.
I don't even want your answers because I want to get to Lisbon quickly, but I'll just quickly give you the question. Thanks to EK Taxi Boy Bahoy for sending it in. Can you name the Scottish Rangers and Celtic captains since 2000? Official club captains. Can you name the Scottish Rangers and Celtic captains since 2000? I think you're going to, even you two dafties can't get that wrong. So I'll leave it with you. And thanks again to EK Taxi Boy if you want to send the question in full-time at Clyde1.com. However, it's come that time of the night. He's been working away in foreign lands. My heart bleeds for him. Let's speak to Andrew McLean.
Clyde One's Super Scoreboard with Meta Betting, the home of sports betting. 18 plus, be gamble aware, stay in control and bet responsibly.
Andrew, you've just been in and about the Rangers camp. What can you tell us?
Yeah, good evening. Just outside the press room of Estadio de Luz at the moment. I tell you what, it's a really, really impressive stadium. 65,000-seater, about 3,500 of those will be allocated to Rangers fans tomorrow. Saw plenty of them out and about enjoying themselves this afternoon. Lots were taking sort of weird and wonderful ways to get to Lisbon, as fans do on these European trips. Many optimistic as well, as you'd expect, given Rangers' really good Europa League record. A lot of talk as well about whether it's potentially a distraction from the title race, and is it something Rangers could do without. Well, that theory was actually put to Philippe Clement, who I was speaking to not too long ago in his pre-match press conference, and he wasn't having any of it whatsoever. He wants to be in every single competition, he wants to win in every single competition, and even told an interesting story about how some board members told him where his priorities should lie ahead of the League Cup final back in December.
No. And I said it in December. There were some people of the board who told me that before our European game, that it was maybe more important that we won the League Cup. And I told them I'd never work that way, because I want players who are hungry for every occasion and want to win every occasion. So it doesn't work that way. It's not like a menu in a restaurant that you pick out, okay, now we're going to perform and they're not. Like this, you don't create a winning culture. So, okay, it's busy schedule. Yes, that's true. It's about us working really hard with all the players, all the staff, to get the players ready. And it's about the players themselves also to show that they're ready for that kind of competition. So we're going to go full for this game, we're going to go full in the weekend, and we're going to go full Thursday again, and we're going to go like that until the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, in any game like this, Andrew, personnel going to be a major talking point, but particularly Rangers, we're already lacking in some areas injury-wise. Lots of callers on here in the last few days talking about Ross McCausland and being on the receiving end of Dan Casey's challenge and leaving the ground on crutches and all that stuff. Is he going to be fine to play?
Yeah, well, Ross McCausland back in training this morning, has travelled with the squad, but Philip Clement says that they are going to wait until tomorrow to see whether he will play or not, to see how many minutes he can play. The fact that he has travelled would maybe suggest that he will play some part tomorrow, but the issue comes with Rangers' complete lack of wingers. Sima out, Matondo out, Cortez out, Scott Wright is out as well. He hasn't travelled either. So Rangers really don't have any wingers aside from Ross McCausland. So Philip Clement was saying it's given him a lot to think about coming into this one.
Not like I wanted. As you probably know, we miss four wingers tomorrow. So four wingers who are not there. Ross maybe also, we will see. He did a warm-up today. He didn't train with the team. He did individual work. We will see tomorrow if he's available to play some minutes or not. So the other four wingers are out. So I have five wingers, and maybe five of them are out. So that's a bad situation. We miss two playmakers with Kieran Dahl and Todd Cantwell, and we miss one striker with Danilo. So that's a lot of offensive qualities that we miss tomorrow. So it's about finding other solutions. It's a challenge, and then as a coach you need to see, do you stick to the same system or do you change? But I had to think about that together with my staff, what to do in these situations and also towards an opponent as Benfica, how to play. So we made some conclusions about that, and we will see with Ross tomorrow.
Anything else of note, Andrew? I wonder what the kind of local feeling is, because I'm not sure it's quite a crisis, but Benfica battered by Porto at the weekend. We had our Portuguese journalist on last night talking about that the fallout from that has been pretty hard, and it's kind of made people think that maybe this game could be a difficult one. It was interesting there, the talk about the wingers, because he said last night that the weakness of Benfica was at fullback, but Rangers don't have any wingers to take advantage of it by the sounds of it.
Yeah, interested in Benfica's pre-match press conference as well. Roger Schmidt was actually being asked by local journalists, you know, if he was ready to pack it in, if he was ready to give up his job because of the result. So it clearly hasn't gone down too well at all. Of course, Porto, big rivals, a 5-0 defeat is huge. So they're going to be in a bad place, certainly at the moment. It's probably just all about that reaction, how well they do bouncing back from that game. They lost to Sporting the week before. Before that, I think they had 6 wins and 2 draws in their 8 previous games. So it's not as if they've been in bad form for a long time, but 2 bad results, especially that one against Porto. So we'll see if it is the same Benfica side that come out and are poor again, or are they going to be a bit of a wounded animal that are ready to put up a fight and try and take it out on Rangers tomorrow night.
That's all well and good. How's Lisbon?
Oh, it's a great city. First time I've ever been here, it is a very nice city. So as usual, you know me on these trips, I'll be ordering some room service early night, because I've got a lot of hard work to do tomorrow.
Sure. Did those dating apps work abroad? Andrew's a much younger man than me. I wouldn't know for sure. You two are desperate to say the wrong thing.
Surely he can answer for us now.
Does it work abroad, or data roaming? How does it work?
I need to ask some of my media colleagues. They might use them, not me.
I've seen some of them. I don't think that's an issue. So quiet night.
I just use my good looks and charm. That's all. Sure. I don't need these apps.
Quiet night of research tonight, is it? And then game tomorrow.
Of course, good. Of course. Busy day.
Good. Bring me back a pastel de nata. I think I'm addicted to them, by the way. Just thought I'd say that.
Brilliant. Yes.
Take accountability for it if anyone can help me with that addiction. That was Andrew McLean over there in Lisbon. He'll be keeping us right up to speed. It's not only on the show, of course. You can check out social media. And if you fancy winning a smart TV and a football kit, check out Clyde1.com. That's Clyde One's Super Scoreboard European coverage with Meta Betting, the home of sports betting. 18 plus, be gamble aware, stay in control, please, and bet responsibly. Right, 01419511025. On the back of what Andrew had to say there, what are you Rangers fans thinking? Get your calls in right now. You two have been very lucky tonight, because the pundits don't usually get this downtime to think about the teaser. And I think I left my answer sheet sitting there. I hope none of you looked at it.
Nah, wouldn't do that.
That's how daft you two are.
I would have to be fair. But I was listening to Andrew.
No, so was I.
Can you name the Scottish and Rangers... The Scottish and Rangers? The Scottish Rangers and Celtic captains since 2000. Official club captains. Cammy's got a list.
Yes.
Give me two names.
Davy Weir, yep, and Lee McCulloch.
Marvin, what have you come up with on your own?
Brown. Uh-huh. And McGregor.
Good, okay, we're up and running. I think you're going to squish this. Even you two can't make a mess of it. Julie is on the line, how's it going, Julie?
Hi, I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm very well. What are you thinking then as a Rangers fan ahead of tomorrow?
Well, I think we can only do our best. I know we've had a lot of injuries, and I'm here to represent the female, because we don't have a lot of females on, actually.
You're right, Julian. That's why I'm delighted you've picked up the phone tonight. So you think Rangers can do it?
Yeah, I think even if we come away with a draw, I think we can beat them at Ibrox.
Yeah, look, you get that two-legged nature of it, and that is, it's a slightly different squad now, actually, when you look at some of the personnel. But by and large, the club in recent seasons has a lot of experience of that, you know, whether it is having to get the right draw and the right combination of results. In theory, you do want to come back to Ibrox, don't you, for the second leg?
It could have been worse. It could have been better. So we're kind of, I think, in between.
That's probably a really fair way of putting it. It could have been a worse draw, just about, but it definitely could have been better. So what do you think?
Yeah, no, it could have been a worse draw for me. Definitely could have been a worse draw, but it is what it is, and I believe Rangers can go over there and get a result. I think Julie's right that you've got to be positive going into these games, and it's probably going to be a little bit more defensive display than they're used to, obviously, in the league. But yeah, I firmly believe, even though they've got a lot of injuries, they've carried a lot of these injuries for a period of time anyways. There's a few fresh concerns, but a lot of them are sort of historical at the moment. So yeah, I firmly believe that they can go and get something. The big one for me is that the second leg is at Ibrox, because I think that gives them a big advantage.
Yeah, that's massive. I agree with Cammy in terms of that. Julie, would you take a narrow defeat, knowing that the second leg is obviously at Ibrox and the way it does rock on a European night?
I'd rather take a draw.
Yeah, I'll definitely rather take a win, though.
No, I'm my team to the final whistle.
There's nothing wrong with aiming high, I suppose. You're listening to Andrew there. Rangers have had credit, understandably, for the way that they have managed the injuries this season and got through it. Does there become a point where you can't, though, or, you know, where it gets too extreme? I mean, if McCausland makes it, I suppose, I don't know, could Silva play off a side? Is that going to be a real... You're then pinning everything on Ross McCausland's fitness. That's not meant to be disrespectful to him, but, you know, he's just a young player who's trying to make his way.
I think away from home, as Cammy said there, I think they're probably set up more defensively, knowing that they don't have, you know, four of their five wingers at this moment in time. Could be five out of five. So I think potentially playing Silva out of position, whether it's down the left or you move McCausland over to the other side, I think, you know, it's too big a risk, I think, to take against Benfica. Without being disrespectful, you could probably do that against 90% of the teams domestically and be okay. But I think you'll want to work from a solid foundation and, you know, probably put a midfield player out there before you put him out there, if I'm honest.
I think the good thing for me is Clement doesn't dwell on his injuries. No. He doesn't at all. He doesn't make excuses that that's going to be the problem ahead of the game. He always puts a spin in it. He sees an opportunity for somebody else to step into the team and perform. So I like that from him in his press conferences. Yes, he's obviously said they do have injuries, which everyone knows, but he's not dwelling on it. He's not making excuses that it's going to cause a problem. He does have the quality and within the squad to go and get a result over there tomorrow.
Thanks very much to Julie. It was nice to hear from Julie, calling all the way from the Isle of Man as well, giving us her thoughts on that game tomorrow night. It was interesting listening to Philippe Clement, this notion of priorities. We do it all the time. I think I saw Derek McInnes asked yesterday if he would choose the Scottish Cup or finishing fourth. Managers are just always going to want to have it all. So I don't think that's a fair question. Like, obviously, they just want to do it all. How hard can it be to balance, and how much should Rangers take heart from the fact that they've done it before?
Yeah, they've got to take a lot of heart, and especially the way the run went the last time. It was difficult games, extra time, so they had to go right to the wire. Listen, I firmly believe that the players want to be, of course they want to be in all competitions at this moment in time. There's only a couple of months left of the season. They know it's going to be an intense end to the season, but the rewards at the end of it, they're so close to them. They'll be delighted they're in all competitions, and I just feel as if it's a real opportunity for the players to go and get a lot of silverware this year.
I mean, Gary sent us a tweet in there saying when Silva signed for Wolves, he was being deployed left of a three by Nuno, so putting him out there isn't the worst idea, especially...
That stopped quite quickly,
rate.
Though.
Yeah. he's got local knowledge there. What was it? He started at Benfica, went to Porto, and then went on from there, I think. So I don't think he's... don't think he'll be flavour of the month, perhaps.
There won't be cheering.
But yeah, whether he plays a part. Are there any other real issues there? Or have Rangers just made a habit of sort of, as you said, not really making a fuss if there's a couple of changes here and there. I can't think of many where X player would play and everyone would be up in arms about it.
No, there is really important players within the team. Again, Jack Butland for me is one that we'd probably be really concerned if he wasn't playing, because he's going to have a huge part to play in whether Rangers progress or not. He's a big player for Rangers, and your goalkeeper has to stand up and be counted for on these big nights. But yeah, again, they don't dwell on these things, and that, I think that's good, because listen, injuries happen throughout the season, and you just need to deal with that. That's why you build these big squads if you've got the budget for it. And Clement's obviously, he's done well within the January transfer window and just sort of added one or two that he's been able to lean on, and they've came in and done really well so far.
Is it too big a game, do you think, for him to change the shape if you've got five wingers out?
No, I don't think it is. I think the players seem to have an understanding, and the message across from the manager as well seems very, very clear, that I don't think it would be a problem if he did change his shape. Again, I think it is going to be a different kind of performance that they're going to have to put together to get a result, because it's going to be more defensive. There's going to be periods that they won't have the ball and they'll have to defend well, and you're not used to that domestically.
I also liked, he didn't name names, but just outing a member of the board, he says, who told him that before the last European game, that the League Cup was more important, and he disagreed. He strikes you as the type of guy that would be happy to just disagree.
Yeah,
and you wouldn't make
straight to your face and say, no, you're wrong. Just stare you in the eye.
But I suppose, like we said, that has to be it, doesn't it? It just has to be that way, and I guess you just take the...
I don't get that mentality from anyone, by the way, when people say, oh, that game's more important. No, it's not. You know, every game's important. Like you say, when you're in three more competitions now, you know, you wouldn't want to win every single game. And it's not just saying it, it's actually believing it and not wanting, needing to do it. And, you know, the biggest game for him, if you said, what's the biggest game of the season? It'd be like the next game, because that's the one we're in control of and the one we're preparing for. So, listen, it's a fantastic mentality. And when that starts to rub off on your players, which I think you have seen now with the Rangers team and the run that they have been on, and, you know, winning all the games they have underneath them, I think it can only be a good thing.
I don't know how this makes RW feel, but he's on the same managerial wavelength as you, Marvin Bartley. He says, you know, why not? He's got Sterling, Goldson, Suter as a back three, Tavernier and Yilmaz wide, and Demande, Lawrence, Lundstrom, Silva and Dessers. That said, we forgot that if Rangers are looking for another winger, it will be Dujon Sterling probably, because he just plays everywhere. Didn't be quite work in the same way that it has previously, but...
He's gone from centre-half to full-back to centre-mid in terms of his career to now on the wing. What a rise it's been.
But he's handled it really well for me in the positions that... And that's a bit of trust from the manager. The manager must see it in training that he
played
trusts...
Played the weekend though, didn't he? But is this just different still enough to show faith and put him back in that position?
I think the manager sees enough in training that he understands he can take on information and deliver for him. I think there's a real... connect of trust between the manager and the players at this moment in time. Yes, listen, the weekend was disappointing, but they'll be looking to rectify that tomorrow night.
Right, 01419511025. Another check-in on this teaser. The Scottish Rangers and Celtic captains since 2000, McCulloch and Weir, Brown and McGregor. Cammy, one from you.
Wallace.
Yep. Marvin, one from you. Don't just let Cammy do this.
Barry Ferguson.
Easy for him. Yes.
Oh. Well, you said one for me. That was my one.
We'll get the rest of the answers next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Cammy Bell are here at 0141 951 1025. What are you two laughing at?
A certain pair of trousers you just shown me.
Oh, man.
I've just dug out. There's a Scottish football manager. And I took a picture of his gear because I thought it was so bad. And I just showed Marvin and Cammy. I couldn't possibly name who it was. But anyway, right, we'll move on very quickly. How are you faring in this teaser? Even Kenny Miller's texting away, but he's one of these quizzers. He's good at this stuff. He'll scoosh this. I even think you two will scoosh it. No offence. So right, we're looking for the 10 Scottish Rangers and Celtic captains since 2000. So Davy Weir, Lee Wallace, what have you got? Lee McCulloch, Barry Ferguson, Scott Brown, Callum McGregor.
You've got Neil Lennon. No. What am I?
The penny will drop eventually. You got it?
Aye.
You realise the mistake you've made?
Yeah.
When you were telling me in the break, I didn't even thought about it.
I was Scottish
so,
captains.
I was so desperate for you not to ask Gordon about those ones off air.
Who's the guy that
this
we,
is, this, I do this all the time, don't listen to the question.
We've got one listener in particular who always complains though at how Marvin laughs into the mic. That poor guy's ears are going to be bursting.
I've actually got nothing, but
you're meant to be helping.
I know, but
here.
He had like two busy stitching me up.
You've stitched him up there. You've stitched him up. That is not the teamwork we expect.
Unbelievable. Honest.
Were you going to go Petrov next? You've got four Scottish captains left. Don't worry, we'll get them before the end. You calm down. Stop being such a bad team
player.
Why
have you not said that one?
What's he got?
Have you said that?
Kenny Miller?
No.
Okay.
Anyway, let's bring in Graham. Graham's a Hearts fan. And Penny Cook, how's it going, Graham?
Yeah, not bad, guys. Yourself?
Not bad, Graham. I'm sure you're used to the way Glasgow in the West works. I know you're from Pennycook. Very little said about Hearts getting the win at the weekend amidst all the controversy. So take it away. You must be delighted at your team at the moment.
Yeah, I'm an ecstatic Hearts fan. I'll be honest, at the start of the season, I wasn't convinced that Naismith was the right man. I thought he was a bit, you know, the job was a bit too big for him. But to be fair, he's turned it around magnificently. After we lost to Aberdeen early on at Pittodrie in early December, I looked at the run of fixtures and thought, I'm worried here. But to go on the run we have, one defeat in the last 13 league games, a cut quarter final to look forward to against Morton, which I know is going to be difficult. I generally think the job he's done has been absolutely fantastic, and I couldn't be any happier that was proved wrong because he's been fantastic.
I don't think Graham will be alone as well, though, in that. I think, what was it, in November? They were 7th, I think,
Yep.
In November, and look at them now.
Listen, he could be manager of the year. I don't know. Yeah. Again, the way that they're going, they're sitting firmly in third position. They're competing against Rangers and Celtic this season by obviously beating both of them. I think he's got to be up there. I think he's done a brilliant job. There was a lot of noise around a certain period of time. I remember there was a big turning point. I feel as if it was the Kilmarnock game. There was a lot of noise before that in the League Cup, and Alex Lowry got the late winner. And then that kind of accelerated them a little bit. And the run they've been on lately has been incredible. Lauren Shanklin, obviously, is a key player, but I do think he's improved a number of players as well, and they've started to play well as a team. And yeah, I think they're going places, Hearts.
It's a style of football as well. I think it's really enjoyable to watch them, you know, as Graham was saying there, whether they win or lose. I think the style of football that Naismith's instilled into that team has been brilliant. And he spoke about bringing through young players, something that Hearts have, you know, failed to do in recent times. And, you know, he spoke about it, but he's actually gone through with it. You know, you see boys now getting called up to the Scotland under-19s, under-21s, etc., who are in their first team, which is absolutely fantastic. So, listen, Shanklin has been a talisman for them, been absolutely brilliant. I think it's at 60% of their goals, or close to, that he's scored. But, you know, he's the first to admit that he needs his teammates to provide his opportunities for him. So, listen, absolutely fantastic. I think he's been linked with, Naismith's actually been linked with a couple of other jobs, hasn't he, down the road, which happens when you are doing well. But Hearts will want to keep hold of him. They want to keep hold of Shanklin. And from their point of view and Graham's point of view, hopefully they can do both.
Does it feel strange to have third place pretty much sewn up by this point in the season, Graham?
Do you know what? I made that mistake of thinking that last season we didn't get third. But I do think this season, I don't see us losing it now. You know, we're 13 points ahead. I think we've pretty much got it wrapped up. And, you know, there's been a lot of good points that have been made about Shankland as well. But I generally think that for me, Frankie Kent's been one of the signers of the season this season. I think he's been absolutely fantastic. Obviously, didn't start on Sunday, unfortunately. But we have a really good squad there. And I think the point made about the young players is great as well. Macaulay Tate's really come on. Aidan Denham's managed to get game time. Finlay Pollitt's come on as well in one of the games. I just think there's a lot of positivity around Hearts just now, which I generally didn't think would happen earlier in the season. So, yeah, I'm really pleased with how Naismith's doing. And fair play to him and fair play to the team. They've been brilliant.
And look, it's a team that's made it to a decent number of Scottish Cup latter stages in recent seasons. That will be coming up. Not that it wouldn't be a priority anyway, but if you're in the nice position that everybody thinks you've got third place, wrapped up, there'll be a real focus on that as well. Like I say, not to say that in another season you're not bothered about the cup, but you know what I mean, there'll be a real desire there from everyone involved to make a good go at it.
Yeah, a massive design. You know, look at, they've got Morton in the next round. He's obviously managed by my mate Dougie, so Morton are actually going to win, Graham, unfortunately for you. But yeah, listen, it's a tie. If they could have picked one, they would probably, you know, they would have preferred it at home. Capello's not an easy place to go, as Motherwell found out in the last round. So, but in terms of Naismith and Hearts and the supporters and the players, you know, they'll be looking at that game and, you know, they'll be saying, listen, we should be getting through to a semi-final and have, you know, third place wrapped up, like you said, Gordon.
How good is Lauren Shankland, Graham? I mean, they talked about him all season long, but it'd be rude of me to let you go without asking your opinion.
I mean, I don't know what I can say about the guy. He's been incredible. 27 goals a season, and some of his finishes have been phenomenal as well. I mean, that goal on Sunday was such a quick snap effort. He's been brilliant. I really hope that he starts for Scotland and Germany. I don't think he will, because I think Steve Clarke will stick with his favourites, like the guys like Lyndon Dykes and Adams. But I really hope that we can keep hold of Shankland. It might be difficult, but he's easily the best striker we've had since John Robertson. He's just been absolutely sensational.
I was going to ask that. So you're old enough to have seen them both by what you've just said. Is it the best since? Has he surpassed that? What would it take to surpass that?
Unfortunately, I think it would take him staying a lot longer than I think he fully will. But he's definitely one of the best I've seen. I mean, we have had decent strikers in the past. We've had guys like Mark De Vries, Stephen Naismith himself, Kyle Lafferty. But nobody as clinical as Shankland. It's like every week, you know, you go into that park and think, we've got a chance because Shankland's there. I never really felt that with the other strikers we've had, although they were good. But Shankland just needs that one chance, and he buries it. He's brilliant. And I've said before as well when I phoned the show, his all-round game has been brilliant. His hold-up play, his link-up play, his game intelligence. He's got everything for me. He's just a brilliant, brilliant striker.
Yeah, and I'm glad he came out and said it at the weekend, I think. It's not like revealing any secrets. I was through there on Friday doing some interviews with him for the TV coverage of the game, and it was proper touch and go for the game. We had to come up with contingency plans as to, well, if he doesn't play, will this interview be used? And it was that level of it. You wouldn't have known.
No, not the way he played.
He's incredible, isn't he?
No, absolutely brilliant. And, you know, that shows when you are in form, though, Gordon, you are playing well. It takes a lot to keep you out. As you said, you know, if he'd been on a barren run and hadn't scored in the last 10 games, then, you know, I'm sure he would have maybe said, you know what, this injury is a bit too sore for me. But he is a talisman for them. He's been absolutely fantastic. I agree with Graham. His intelligence for me this season in terms of when to drop him, when to try and go in behind, you know, picking up certain areas. Like his goal on Sunday, that's not fluke that it falls to him there. That's just, you know, knowing where to be in the box, where that ball might fall. And at this moment in time, everything he touches, you know, hits the back of the net. And Stevie Clarke has to be looking at it thinking, I need to find a way of putting this man into my team.
That was such a good finish. And yet, it wasn't even up there with his top five of this season because of the standards that have been set.
Yeah, his goals are incredible. And again, what Graham touched on, his all-round game for me is so, so good. His link-up play, just his demand, how important he is for the team. He's brilliant. And as you say, Marv, it is a bit of a headache for Steve Clarke because he has to be looking at thinking, how do I get this guy in the team? Lyndon Dykes isn't scoring as many goals, or we all know he's not that sort of natural goal scorer, but brings a lot to the team. So it will be interesting, but it's a great headache for Scottish fans to have as well.
Thank you very much to Graham on the usual number. I think that'll probably be the last of the calls for tonight because we're almost out of time, but plenty more opportunity for you to tweet us your thoughts on any of the big issues over at Clyde SSB. And of course, we'll continue building up to the Rangers game tomorrow as well. Thanks to Universal Interiors, East Kilbride, for helping us out with the question tonight. We're asking the pundits to name us the Scottish Rangers and Celtic captains since 2000. So Neil Lennon is not there.
What a Petrov.
I hope you've got some names written down.
Exactly. Don't show him the list. Davy Weir, Lee Wallace, Lee McCulloch, Barry Ferguson, Scott Brown, Callum McGregor.
I've wrote down Danny Wilson?
No, there's a real Celtic theme in amongst the remaining ones, i.e. there are no more Rangers ones.
Wow.
Right, so think, like, who would have been... Who was before Scott Brown?
Steve McManus?
Yes, Steve McManus. Okay.
Come on, said you earlier. Man.
This is pre-me, though.
That's what I said.
When did you sort of start coming up against Celtic? What year would that be?
Stephen Presley?
No. What year are we talking? Would you have... So think of that sort of Martin O'Neill era early on. I mean, obviously, all three very well-known Scotland internationals. Yep.
Tom Boyd?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, wow. What about central midfield? Borussia Dortmund. That's all I'm going to say.
Paul Lambert.
Paul Lambert, yes.
And the last one, fullback.
I don't know.
Simon Donnelly's pal. He's usually in here with you two,
Jackie
Simon.
Mack.
Jackie Mack.
There we go.
We got there in the end. Thank you to Cammy and to Marvin. And thank you. Another lively night on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. There's just so much happening in Scottish football at the moment. That is the way we like it. And it continues tomorrow because Brendan Rodgers, his story dominated things tonight. You would imagine tomorrow it would mostly be about Rangers playing Benfica over there in Lisbon. Andrew McLean's there. He'll give you all the build-up. And he'll be joined by two men who know their world football inside out. It's Gordon Dalziel and Mark Wilson from 6 o'clock. And Callum is up next.